And good afternoon. It is a Monday, August the 27th, 2018. 16 minutes past the hour. Scott Spears along with you for the ride today. It's going to be a great program today. We're going to be joined in about 5 minutes by Lulu Roman. Does everybody out there remember Lulu Roman? Probably best known from her work on the hit TV series Hee Haw, which ran in the 60s, 70s, 80s, and I think even on into the early 90s. It was a very, very popular show. And it'll be fun to talk with Lulu about all the great people that she worked with on that tremendous series way back so many years ago, and also learn about Lulu's life, which is very fascinating. A lot of interesting things happened to this woman over the years, and we'll hear about that today. Now, we're also going to do a lot of trivia questions coming up in hour two today, because I got a whole new lot of trivia questions that have not been answered, and we've got a whole lot of prizes that need to be given away before Labor Day. Can you believe we are 1 week away from Labor Day? I can hardly imagine that myself. By the way, next week, Monday, September the 3rd, the WWGH offices will be closed in observance of Labor Day. But we've got all these prizes to give away, because the tickets to Cosi, Tecumseh, Zumbeezy Bay, and the Wilds all expire on Labor Day. So if you have some tickets to pick up, or you win some tickets today, they are good through the weekend. So do yourself a favor on this long Labor Day weekend, the official end of summer, as they call it. It's hard to believe that's coming up. Seems like we were just saying it was the start of summer. Now it's the end of summer. But I guess that's how things go. But you know, oddly enough, the summer does not... I think it's October 21st is the... or is it September 21st? I think it's September 21st is the fall solstice. The first day of fall, I think it's September the 21st. So we're not too far away from fall. That is to be sure. We've just about had our 4 months of summer. June 21st. Maybe it is October 21st. When's the first day of fall? Somebody give me a call. 740-383-9944. Don't have a computer in front of me now. Is it September 21st or October 21st? Which I think it's October 21st is the first day of fall. 740-383-9944. Don't forget the big fly-in and drive-in is coming up September 15th and 16th, 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. It's going to be just a heck of an event. There's all kinds of things to do with astronauts, pedal planes, the Ford Tri-Motor will be there, just a helicopter rides, a whole bunch of stuff going on at the Marion Airport coming up September 15th and 16th. And what a great amount of time has been put into that. Well, I tell you what, we're going to take a quick break, come back with Lulu Roman right after this quick but important timeout here on WWGH Radio. It's Now with Scott Spears, Monday through Thursday, right here on WWGH Radio from 12:10 to 2 p.m. Listen to the program for guests like these. The voice of Ursula from The Little Mermaid and actress Pat Carroll.
And I think villains are the most fascinating people as a play. They have more edges to them, the color to them. Isn't that a shame that goodness isn't more fascinating, or our world would be better?
I guess.
But there is something fascinated about tacky people, mean people. They're colorful. Good people always seem to be a little bit, yucky. But bad people always have edges to them. That's why they're so wonderful to play for actors.
That?
Because you can pick all the things in life as a human being that annoy you or that you would like to do to be really rotten mean. Most people are too afraid to be rotten mean because we want people's approval so badly. And we know that being rotten mean isn't going to get us that. But, oh, villains for actors are the best things in the world to play.
You know, Pat, that that almost describes our current political situation in this country.
Doesn't it just? I never thought of that, but you're quite right.
Join me Monday through Thursday, 12:10 to 2 p.m. right here on WWGH Radio. We'll take your calls, 740-383-9944, streaming live on the internet at www.wwgh1071.com.
Hey, Scott Spears back with you on this Monday, August the 27th, 2018. 21 minutes coming up on 22 minutes past the hour. You're tuned in to WWGH Radio. Now, we've got a great group of guests coming up later on this week. Tomorrow, set your calendars because we're going to be joined by former doctor on the Today Show, best-selling author Dr. Art Uihlein, who is going to be on with us tomorrow to discuss cancer. With the passing of John McCain and Aretha Franklin as of late, cancer certainly is a topic that is on everybody's mind, so we'll talk with Dr. Art Uihlein tomorrow, 12:15, about cancer and also about mental illness with all the tragic events that seemingly continue to go on around the world. Now, on Wednesday, we're going to be joined. We're going to give you a little preview of a book that everybody picks up every year, The Farmer's Almanac. I received my copy of the 2019 Farmer's Almanac, and coming up on Wednesday at 12:15, we're going to be joined by the editor of the Old Farmer's Almanac. So you'll find out what the winter's going to be like and next summer. We're already thinking ahead. But this hour, we're joined by a lady who is always welcome on this program. You probably remember her best from the hit TV series Hee Haw. She was an original, an American treasure. She does stand-up comedy. She sings. She's still out there performing. And has led a very interesting life, which we will recount today. It's a pleasure to be joined by Lulu Roman. Lulu, how are you?
I'm great. How are you, honey?
Always good to speak with you. It's always good to hear your voice.
Thank you.
Well, Lulu, I wanted to get into this because I think you've led a fascinating life that a lot of people don't know about. Your childhood was kind of interesting. Tell people about it.
Mm-hmm. Well, I was born in a home for unwed mothers, and then shortly after that, I was dropped off in an orphan's home, and I actually spent my childhood in an orphan's home.
What is it like? So, what's it like to live in an orphan's home?
That's pretty dreary it is. You are not familiar with any kind of a family atmosphere. The one that I was raised in did not have that at that time. I hear that later they kind of did. But for the most part, it was a bit segregated, I guess you could say. Boys were on one half of the campus, girls were on the other half. And everything was split up. You know, it's like you didn't cross over from one side to the other. You did see, you know, other kids in classes and church and, you know, activities and stuff. But the living situation was, you know, all the girls in one place and all the boys in one place.
When you were growing up there, did you have an idea about what you wanted to be when you grew up?
I did. I kind of saw myself as being a comedian. I never really put any thought to thinking that I would sing. And that's been the best part of my life, is getting to sing.
When did you realize you could sing?
I always knew I could carry a tune. I did. But I never, ever thought that I would be a singer. That didn't happen until after I gave my heart to the Lord, and I just really felt like I wanted to sing. And so I prayed and asked God to let me sing, and he did. I've just been real blessed. I've never had a voice lesson. I do not read music. And I don't rehearse unless somebody makes me. So I've really got a wonderful gift from God to be able to just open my mouth and sing. And boy, if God will let me do it, I'll do it to the day I go.
When did the comedy come to you? When did you realize you had the ability to make people laugh?
That was real early. In the orphan's home, I used to get in a lot of trouble for what they call bucking your eyes. I got, don't you buck those eyes at me. Because people would say something to me and I'd, you know, go to the wide-eyed thing. And I knew that a long time, you know, very early. I used it, I realize now, I used it as a, almost as a weapon. But I used it to get attention. I used it to get in or out of particular situations. just always been a part of me. It really has.
When you were growing up in the orphanage, did you ever know or meet your mother or father?
I did meet my mother, but she was not well, and so it wasn't something that that I ever got, you know, had a real connection with. And I never met my father. I never knew who my father was. Always wanted to.
When you left the orphanage, where did you go? What happened when it was time to go?
I went to the streets of Dallas. I did. And I worked at the telephone companies when I was young. And I guess you could say one of the things on my bucket list is I wanted to learn how to cut. And I got that down real good and lost my first job over at the telephone company because I wanted to tell people, you know, where to go and stuff like that. So I lost my first job and ended up truly in the streets of Dallas and not really having an education of, you know, any particular sort of thing. I ended up with those facial and, I guess, body things that I used to make people laugh. I ended up working in the Dallas nightclub.
When you were on the street...
That's where I met... I'm sorry?
Oh, no, go ahead.
That's where I met Buck Owens. And Buck and I got to be good... Hang on just a minute, honey. I am in a hotel room. They're knocking on the door. Just a minute.
We're chatting with Lulu Roman here on WWGH Radio 107.1 FM. Legendary actress, comedian, performer.
Okay, I'm sorry. What did you say?
Yes. When you were working in or living in the streets, what was that like? Did you learn anything? Did it leave you with any kind of a lesson?
I think realizing that I was going to be alone, I found out real quick that I had to find a way to take care of myself. I had to find a way to make sure that I had a place to sleep at night, you know. And so I learned real early that, you know, if you want it, you do have to work for it. You do have to get out there and look that opportunity in the face and go for it.
How did you end up in the nightclubs?
I used to go and visit with some friends of mine who had friends that worked there. And so I ended up being a comedian in a couple of Jack Ruby's nightclubs. And I was not one of the dancers. I was the funny girl.
Not having worked in show business at that point, what did you get up and do on the stage?
Well, I tripped around and acted silly and told jokes and poured beer on people's heads. I was pretty crazy back then. So I was a live wire, shall we say.
When you got on stage, did you feel comfortable, or was there any stage fright involved?
You know, not so much. I knew I had already discovered that I could make people laugh just with my facial expressions and with doing funny little body things, using my hands or throwing my leg out or whatever. And I don't remember that I had a whole lot of stress or fear over it. It was just fun to make people laugh.
When Buck Owens met you, what did he say? How did that change your life?
He and I got to be really great friends. He did. He said, "You are one of the funniest people I've ever met in my whole life." And he said, "One day you're going to be a big star and I'm going to have something to do with it." And I said, "Okay, cowboy." I thumped that cowboy hat and said, "Keep talking, baby." And by golly, it was him that got me on the Hee Haw show.
When you were cast in Hee Haw, what was it explained to you as? What your role on that show?
They never really gave me a specific name or a specific role. It was something that they just stood me up in front of the camera and asked me to read a couple of lines, and I read them and made this stupid little face. And one of the guys said, "You know, wow, she's incredible." And I said, "Wow, give me your money. Watch me get better."
What was it like for this girl who grew up in an orphanage, was on the streets for a period of time, now to be on network television?
It was more fun than I knew how to have. It was. I never was much of a dreamer because I found out early in life that apparently I wasn't the one who was going to get the dream. But I always aspired to accomplish things. And when I look back over my life now, I see how God really had a hand in that, and just, you know, to help me to, and moreover, truly to cover me.
Now, at one,
go ahead.
Yeah, at one point during this run on Hee Haw, there was an issue with drugs. When did that start?
I had been involved with drugs for many years. I had, when I got out of the orphan's home, I really started doing drugs before I got out of the orphan's home, because I discovered in the school system, they sent us out to public schools, and I learned how to do drugs in the public school system. I did. Just having friends going out, playing around, you know, smoking a little hooch, you know, taking a couple of pills, and it grew from there because I realized there was something inside of me that just wanted to get away from the ugliness of the life I was living. From the time I was a kid, I listened to people say, "Fatty, fatty, 2x4 can't get through the kitchen door." I was always the roundest one in the room. And I realize now I just wanted to get away from that. I just wanted to not feel that shame and feel that rejection. And so I thought if I could make people laugh, that would be the trick. And then inside of that, I could go away and hide in the drugs at the same time.
Being recognized, you now have national fame, you're on Hee Haw, but a comedian, yes, but kind of the bigger girl on Hee Haw. Was it hard to live with that, some of those jokes, some of that material?
Not so much, because I knew it was, how do I say that? I knew that it was a world of ridiculousness and a world of silliness that they just wanted to kind of sort of freak the American public out and make them laugh. And the laughter was always a part, you know, of what I loved the most, of what I, it brought me to life, too, it did.
When did your problem with weight first start?
Oh, my. In the first grade, you know, people made fun of me and called me Fatty Fatty 2x4. So I've always been rounder than anyone. Always was. I don't know if I just was, you know, had a medical problem with it, or I do know now that I have is what they classically call a non-functioning thyroid, and I think that had something to do with it. But then also too, as a child, we were given sugar a lot to kind of put the Band-Aid on that broken tear in your heart, you know.
I know a few.
And, my middle name should be Sugar.
I know a few years ago you lost quite a bit of weight, about 200 pounds. How did you do that?
I did a weight loss program. I had surgery. And I worked on it really hard. And then when that didn't work, then I found a good surgeon and had a lap band surgery. And that helped quite a bit. It did. And I've still, you know, I have not gained the weight back. I haven't.
So you still remain at a comfortable weight now?
I do, yeah. I can get around easy, you know. I can walk. I used to have to ride in one of those scooter things. I don't need that. I walk very well. I have problems with my knees and stuff, but I'm doing great.
When people see you, when you go out now and perform, do they, in a way, expect to see the bigger lady that they saw on television?
You know, I think some of them might, because I do every now and then get a comment, "Oh, you're a lot smaller than I thought you were." which I like to say thank you for. But, yeah, I think people are still a little mystified to see that I have kept the weight off.
You know, a lot of people weigh these surgeries, lap band and things of that nature. What is it like when you have that surgery done? How does it affect your day-to-day activity?
It didn't really bother me as far as, like, physical, you know, activities. Just the, I guess the mental trying to think of the right words, the right thing to say, the mental capacity to adjust and to sustain, that was kind of maybe the hardest part.
Is it hard today to not eat the sweets? What do you typically eat now, being smaller and healthier?
Say that again.
I say, what do you eat today as part of a more healthy lifestyle?
Less. A whole lot less than I used to eat. I don't eat quite as much sugar as I did, but I still love sugar. I do. I've never been a big meat eater. Believe it or not, a vegetable lover. I love vegetables and I love salads. But my portion size have gone down more than half of what I used to eat.
When you were on Hee Haw, Lulu, the drug issue came to a head. How did that happen? What took place?
I was totally delivered from drugs, honey. I was. In April of 73, one of the kids from the orphan's home, I had run into her, and she took me to her church, and I had a real experience with Jesus, and I gave my heart to the Lord and didn't realize it until the next day that I was still involved with the drugs. By that time, I was sticking needles in my body. And I didn't realize one night after when we went to church that I had not done that. And the next morning, I suddenly realized that I had not had the occasion to stick that needle in my arm again, and God just took it away. He just took it away. I never had the desire to do it. I never had any withdrawals. I had a whole church of people around me watching God do this. Mm. It was amazing. It was.
You know, a lot of people deal with this to this day, weight, drug issues.
Uh-huh.
What advice would you give to those people on those two particular issues, since you've dealt with them both throughout your life?
I think I would do better to give maybe spiritual advice, and that is to have a relationship with Jesus and put your trust and your belief in Him and in that. That is what has gotten me through. It is.
It's a good, great thing.
I'm being told to have a message. But it's more so that than about food or eating or whatever, because I kind of eat different than most people. I've usually eaten real, pretty healthy all my life, except for sugar.
You know, Lulu, Hee Haw was a tremendous program. The guest stars, the cast, it was a who's who in those days. I want to run off some of these names and kind of give me a thumbnail sketch of some of these people. What was Roy Clark like?
Oh, Roy's wonderful. Roy is talented, exceptionally quick-witted, sweetheart, really is a sweetheart. And I was happy to tell you he loves the Lord, and that's a good thing.
I know he stopped touring. How's he doing these days?
He's, I think, had a few little problems with his back. And it's slowed him down. It has. I know he's in good mental health. He just fights, you know, with his back. And with his, I think, his legs. But I think that's probably normal for you when you're our age, because I do too.
Minnie Pearl.
He's a wonderful, wonderful human being. Oh, I love him.
Minnie Pearl, who we also remember so well.
Mm.
What was she like?
Minnie was awesome. Minnie was Minnie Pearl when she took, or should I say, when she put on that dress and put on that hat, she turned into Minnie Pearl. She was not Sarah Ophelia Cannon. But when she took that dress and that hat off and stepped into her clothes that she wore every day, she was Minnie Pearl. She didn't cross the two characters with each other. And was very witty and smart and used to just sit around and tell us stories about how she was when she was young and what it was like to be a female comedian and how it was looked down on. And she was considered to be, ooh, a not-so-nice person, you know, when she'd go into these little schools and stand up and, you know, tell jokes and things. And she really had a life. She did. And so she was a magnificent human being.
Somebody else who we all remember so well, Grandpa Jones.
I love Paul. Paul was something else. You didn't make him mad. That's one thing. Or you knew better than to. Boy, he could pick that banjo. I used to love just sit and watch his fingers picking that banjo. And then being able to dance and do all that other stuff while he's doing it. And did that from the time he was real young. You know, they painted lines on his head when he was in his 20s to make him look like a grandpa. And even when he was on the show with us, they were still painting lines in his head because he never did get a lot of wrinkles. They had to turn him into Grandpa kind of every time, you know, we went on stage.
The gentleman who found you in that club, Buck Owens, what was he like?
Mm. Buck was my hero. He was. I met Buck in Dallas years ago. And we became good friends. And when they put the Hee Haw show together, they had him and a couple of the other guys that were big in country music at that time asking them, you know, who they'd recommend to do this or do that. And they told him that they were looking for one gorgeous blonde and one gorgeous brunette. They were looking for one boy next door type and one girl next door type. And they were looking for one fat, dumb man and one fat, dumb woman. And Buck said, I got your girl. She's in Dallas. So they took his word. And the next thing I knew, he was on the phone. He said, now just sit down and listen to me. And I said, all right. He said, you need to be on an airplane tomorrow at 3 in the afternoon. I said, all right, what am I going to be on an airplane for? And he said, hush, let me talk. And then he told me they had come up with, a couple of boys had come up with a show kind of like laughing, and they were going to call it Hee Haw. And I said, he what? He said, Hee Haw. And I said, he what? And he said, Hee Haw, Lou, like a donkey. And I said, okay. So the next thing I knew, I was on an airplane and in a studio with people I'd never met and didn't know what was going on. But it's amazing how the Lord just, you know, works things out. I remember walking through that Channel 5 studio thinking they're going to show this mess to the whole world. I was a hippie kid. I was not into country music at that time. And I got my first paycheck, and I thought, they're going to show this mess to the whole world.
You know, Lulu, the show ran for nearly 23 years. How did it change over the run?
They tried, as we got a couple of new producers and some new men and writers and stuff in there that wanted to change it. They wanted to take tradition and move it out of the way and bring in new looks and new girls and new material. And you know what? It didn't work. So they had to go back to the country genre, shall we say, and do the old jokes and the stand-up stuff that we did. That's what worked. But bringing in, you know, hot mamas and, you know, other kind of I guess acts or entertainment stuff, it didn't work.
The show ran.
And Hee Haw just needed to be Hee Haw.
Yeah. The show ran until the spring of 1992. What was it like to do the last episode?
Well, of course it was sad, knowing that it was coming to an end. It was. And what I had missed the most was I missed my friends. I made some wonderful friends, I did. And those relationships, you know, I mean, some of them have remained. I still keep in touch with Kathy and Danella and several other people. And that's been the hardest thing is you feel like you've lost those friendships. You haven't lost them. It's just that the contact with everybody was pretty much taken away.
When the series ended, where did you go from there? Did you know what you wanted to do?
Pretty much so. By then I was already into gospel music. And I was doing concerts across the nation. And it's been almost 40 some odd years, and I'm still doing that.
If a Lulu Roman show comes to town, what can people expect to see if they go?
Goodness sake. Big eyes. Hopefully some good gospel music, some good country music. Hear a story or two. See a skit maybe or two. What I would want to do would be to lighten their heart.
Is there
any... We live in a world where, boy, you need that. You really do.
Is there anything you have not done in the entertainment field that you still would like to do?
That's a good question. I would love to get to do a sitcom or two.
I could see it.
I would love to get to do movies. I would love that.
Have you ever done a play?
Years and years and years ago, I did.
But you would be open to that?
Possibly. That's a hard one, you know?
Yeah. Is there anything... Maybe I should ask, is there anything you would not do?
Oh, yeah, I'm sure there are lots of things I would not do. I would not do anything that would cross a line as far as my beliefs in God and how I feel about that. I wouldn't want to do anything that was, you know, not classy, should I say, you know. I wouldn't want to be involved in any kind of... I'm trying to figure out how to say that. anything that would be hurtful to other people.
I understand what you're saying. When you look back at the career, is there anything you would have done differently?
I'm sure I could possibly think of things that I would have loved to have done differently. But being where I am in my spiritual walk, I realize that first and foremost, God's will is what I know I need to desire in my life. And generally, that's not what our will is, you know.
You know, it's...
I'd rather just lay around and have the money flow in, you know, and be a lazy bones. But I get to go out and I get to meet people and I get to talk to people and, you know, it's a good life, it is.
Do you ever get tired of being Lulu, being the funny one, being that person that you have to be when these people... meet you?
From time to time, I need to take a break. You know, I just lost my youngest son a year ago. Not quite a year. And I've had to kind of just be still. And just try to rebuild my spirit, because that pretty much took a big chunk out of my heart. Yeah.
You know, some people who go through the loss of a child say it's never something you can get over. How did you get through it?
I have not gotten through it. I haven't. It's with me every day, it is. I hear his voice. I see him in my mind and in my heart, I do.
How does being a person...
I don't think you get over it, honey, I don't.
No, I think you're exactly right. I don't know how people do. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
I think you just keep on keeping on. You have to do that.
Yeah.
Yeah, you do. When
you
go out on stage, is that an escape from things like that?
I'm sure it is to some degree. I don't think I've ever really sat down and thought, well, this is, you know, I'm going to go out there to get away from this. But it is.
You know, it's interesting. At this time in your life, with the things that have happened, and, you know, we all get older, that's for sure. When you mm-hmm. know... you're about to go on, when the person is introducing you, is it still a charge to go out on that stage?
It is. It is. I love it.
You know,
I love it.
I interviewed somebody one time who said they had terrible arthritis, they walked hunched over, but when their name was said, it all went away.
It does. It does. It surely does.
You know, Lulu, people have watched you now for over 40 years in this country. Mm-hmm. What's the biggest misconception people would have about you who just have seen you from television?
I think maybe what it would be would that people would think that I was I don't want to say stupid, maybe, but uneducated, you know.
Well, do
not, you know.
Yeah,
smart.
Well, on Hee Haw, and I, it was a tremendous show. But did you ever get tired of that? I mean, that was one of the. I think that's why CBS dropped it at one point, because they felt it was too rural, too different.
Yeah, they did.
Is it good to do different things now, where you can sing gospel and tell the stories of the jokes?
Oh, yeah, sure.
Yeah.
Sure it is. But it was also fun to be in the middle of that, because the relationships that we had with each other were so much fun and so wonderful. And it was something that you look forward to doing. We taped twice a year.
Mm.
And it was fun to get to see your friends, you know, a couple of times a year. You know, Ganella was one of my dearest friends, and she's from California, and Kathy, she's from Virginia. So it was always good to see your friends and get to visit and talk about kids, you know, and grandkids and all that stuff.
You know, Lulu, I know you're still out there working, and I know you've got a book coming mm-hmm. out, so we've just scratched the surface. So I hope you will come back with us on this program, because I've enjoyed this a lot.
Would love to. Thank you so much.
Yeah, but Lulu, before I let you go, it's going to be 100 years, because you're still booking dates and entertaining people, but 100
yes,
years...
I am.
we're glad for it. 100 years from now, when people look back, how would you like them to remember you?
First of all, I would like to remember that I love Jesus, and that my belief system is what kept me sane and kept me in a place where I wanted to love on people and encourage people. And then also, I would love for them to remember that's that girl that made me laugh. That took a bit of pain or a bit of anguish out of my heart for just a few moments.
Well, I don't think it'll be hard for people to remember you that way, Lulu, because I've seen you recently.
Thank you.
I've seen some of the videos on the internet, and you are still as entertaining as you ever were. And I hope our paths cross real soon. And
thank you.
You're always welcome here. Thank you for sparing some time this morning.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
You stay well.
Okay, you too, and have a blessed day.
Bye-bye.
Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
Lulu Roman, folks. We're going to take a break. Come back with trivia right after this.
Community, for over 45 years, providing